You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast.
The cost of living keeps going up, deficits keep going up, and he has to raise taxes to pay for his out-of-control spending.
Talk is cheap, except when this finance minister does it. It's very expensive.
It's the fact that he punished two strong women for doing the right thing while he moved hell and high water to protect his buddies at SNC-Lavalin from facing a day in court.
This is The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. I'm Jamie Schmale, your host. This week, our topic is the Auditor General's report. Joining me this week is Michael Barrett. He's the MP from Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Island, Rideau Lakes, right here in Ontario, and Stephanie Cusey, the Democratic Institutions critic and the MP for Calgary Mindapore. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for having us, Jamie.
We have a lot to talk about because the Auditor General's report was not friendly at all to the Liberals, and it just shows, in my opinion, one dumpster fire after another. And actually, I think John Iveson said the exact same thing in the National Post. So maybe, Stephanie, you can just give us a quick update on what the Auditor General said in a few key areas, and we can go from there.
Sure. Well, thanks, Jamie. You know, I always look forward to these Auditor General reports because they never disappoint. They never disappoint in that they continue to point out the failure of this Liberal government and the failure of Prime Minister Trudeau. And this spring 2019 report was no exception at all. I mean, it evaluated a number of areas, including call centers, asylum seekers, e-commerce, RCMP equipment, as well as political advertising, an area that's very relevant to my area of democratic institutions. And really, Jamie, what we saw was failure after failure after failure after failure, which is no surprise. And, you know, before we talk a little bit further, I just want to give a kudos to our team that I think always does a fantastic job of holding this Liberal government to account in all of the committees. You know, I've had the good fortune to do these evaluations before in public estimates, in particular on the consular report in the last round of the Auditor General reports. And so I really always appreciate the opportunity for our caucus through this process and through these committees to critically evaluate this area, these areas where consistently we see all of these fails. But as I mentioned, Jamie, for me specifically, this time, in regards to the portfolio of democratic institutions, was the evaluation of nonpartisan advertising with the federal government. And Jamie, you know, before we get into the results, I want to point out that this is something that I specifically questioned the Minister of Democratic Institutions, Karina Gold, who will be hosting Politics and the Pen with our own Erin O'Toole this coming Wednesday. But I specifically questioned her when she came to our committee as to, during the Bill C-76, of course, the Electoral Reform Bill, which was just passed in December and will come into effect this June 13th. Hold on to your hats, everybody. I questioned her about specifically, can you commit that the government will not do any partisan advertising? And her response was very flat out, no, government, she couldn't say no. She said, government advertising will continue as normal in regards to government programs. To me, which is just a thin veiled response of no, we can't commit to nonpartisan advertising. And the results in the Auditor General's report speak to that. For two reasons, specifically. The first one is that when they did the evaluation of the spending, or I should say, of the advertising, they only evaluated campaigns over $500,000. Now, if you're like me, first you think, oh yeah, $500,000, that's a reasonable threshold. And in fact, if you look at it by the spending, by the numbers, it's reasonable because it's 70% of all the government spending. So you think that's reasonable. But then take a moment and think about what you spend on your last Facebook ad. And when you start to think about just what, say, for example, $5,000 just as any number sort of pulled out of the air gets you in terms of advertising and the share value that gets you, the eyes on content value that gets you, then all of a sudden, right, 30% of government spending dedicated to campaigns less than $500,000 all of a sudden starts to become really, really significant. That's right. If you think about all of these micro campaigns, mm-hmm. which as we've seen, and I mean, this is in the media all over the place. In fact, Google is back at Ethics Today having these types of conversations about advertising related to elections and to democratic institutions. But, you know, this really tells you that it was not properly evaluated if only campaigns over $500,000 were used. So great error in oversight. That is definitely something significant. And then it turns out that the organization to which complaints were made in regards to oversight is a governmental organization. It's not even an independent organization. So those who are monitoring and handling the complaints, and this is something we have seen again at the House Procedures Committee in my portfolio of democratic institutions, is the government claiming that things are independent. That, you know, does the Senate come to mind, Michael and Jamie, for example, claiming that things are independent? You know, for me, we've seen this again in the supplementary estimates with the debate commission. You know, a process that was put in place by the Liberal government. This is an area that I struggle with all the time. The commissioner himself, the former governor general, selected by our very own Stephen Harper, but, you know, selected by the Liberal government, again, by the Liberal government, and then given a mandate through order and council. Like, it's a common theme, and we're seeing it here again, mm-hmm. In regards to the evaluation of advertising in the spring 2019 reports of the Auditor General of Canada. So, Jamie, you know, I'm not surprised to see all of these failures of the Trudeau government. I'm not surprised to see this hypocrisy in independence and in evaluation. And I just, you know, I really think it just speaks again to the failure of Justin Trudeau and his Liberal government.
And I think taxpayers, again, are taking the results. They're being given the bill for all of his failures. So it's actually just one more, and we'll segue into the F-35s fighter jets that are Air Force desperately needs some new plane. And Michael, you're a former military guy, so you know a lot about this. So we do appreciate. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Yeah, it was an
Thank
honor.
You.
Yeah.
And, you know, the F-35s was a political issue in the 2015 election.
Right.
Basically, the Liberals said that was bad. They were going to go to a different route. So obviously, that process got messed up. They decided to buy old planes, CF-18s from the Australians, were for a capability gap we did not have. So maybe you can just give a quick explanation about your thoughts on this whole process and another delay in military procurement by the government.
Yeah, and so military procurement has been a tough file for successive governments, and I can tell you that, you know, when I was serving, my colleagues and brothers and sisters in arms in the Air Force were very excited about the prospect of flying the F-35. Now our allies are now flying the F-35. And when we committed to that project and we had put seed money in on that project, it was a sure thing that these aircraft were going to be delivered and we'd be operating them. It became a political football in 2015, and the Liberals committed to scrapping that project and having a new procurement plan. Well, what that resulted in is, as you mentioned, they're spending $100 million on aircraft older than most of the people in this room right now, and that is not going to incentivize people to join our Air Force. That's not going to it's not going to close the capability gap, because it closes a gap that didn't exist. And so what we've seen with their new process, and I'm not going to use air quotes because this isn't a TV broadcast, but you know, I'm using them.
That's a good play on words, though, too, Michael. Air quotes.
Yes,
that's
pretty good. air quotes. They they've really failed to deliver. And what they've done is instituted this wholly partisan project that now excludes Lockheed Martin's F-35, which has put the Liberals in a position that they've continued to put Canada in, and that is at odds with our allies. And so now we have the U.S. government, the Trump administration, who is obviously very concerned that we're excluding Lockheed and their newest generation fighter jet from being part of this process. So we're investing all kinds of treasure in these antiquated planes. Mm-hmm. We're seeing all kinds of people leaving the Air Force because they don't want to fly on old yeah. aircraft. And you know, Canadians should have confidence in their military because we have the most selfless and hardest working friends, neighbors, and relatives who have committed their lives to serve our country with on offer of unlimited liability. The minimum that we owe them is the right equipment to do the job. And as the Auditor General...
I couldn't agree more, Michael.
Yeah, and as the Auditor General laid out, this process is anything but being done in the best interest of Canadians.
Well, as the Liberals who... way back in the 90s, bought used subs from the British that had their problems.
Yeah, their problems and tragic consequences yep. for buying refurbished kit. And, you know, in the military in Canada, we often get used to, doing more with less. And being an Army guy, we operated in austere working conditions. There's not a whole lot of margin for error when you're literally dealing with life and death situations, and when we're refurbishing ancient jets just to satisfy and scratch a political itch, I can tell you that it's really disappointing. And you know, the Auditor General's report is just scathing, and we've seen that they're pretty transparently stifling anyone who is speaking out in government about their bungling mm-hmm. of the new procurement process. And it's the losers are the taxpayer. Yep. The losers are our men and women of the Canadian Forces. And you know what? We're going to go into another election cycle with this government patting itself on the back for taking delivery of less than a half dozen aircraft that should be retired.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, with your comments and Stephanie's comments, it just seems to be one failure after another. Taxpayers are getting the bill for this, and our military doesn't seem to be getting any stronger. I think I would agree with you that during the election, it became a political football, unfortunately, and to your comments, the men and women in uniform are suffering because of it, because they are getting less than stellar equipment. Meanwhile, our friends and allies, Italy, Israel, the United States, many others, are flying the F-35s.
Right, and we should have interoperability yep. with all of our allies, all of our NATO partners, but certainly with the United States.
Yep.
You know, we protect the same skies, and we share opportunities, but we also share exposure to the same threats. We also have a very vast country, and so we depend very heavily on our Air Force to do a lot of the heavy lifting as far as patrolling our country and protecting us. So to just raise the partisan Liberal flag on this and just say, you know what, we're not going to move ahead with this, and then to go one step further, and now that this plane is ready for delivery, to not permit Lockheed to participate in the competition. It's just plainly partisan. It's pure political gamesmanship, and it's the like I said, the real losers are Canadians.
Well, hopefully Canadians will make their voices known on October 21st. And as an election comes up, Stephanie, as the critic for democratic institutions, we talked about the legislation that was passed regarding our elections. How do you see this playing out, being that the government almost put opposition parties at a bit of a disadvantage going into the upcoming election?
Well, they've absolutely put opposition parties at a disadvantage from the get-go. I mean, you look for example, the expenditure caps now, which weren't in place before. I mean, that's another mechanism by which the government is trying to silence opposition. And I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise here with what we've seen, you know, even this week alone with the Admiral case, as well as SNC-Lavalin. I mean, just continuous poor judgment of this prime minister, clearly not as advertised. But that's just one example. The expenditures, they have shown that they have not given good thought to how they will protect this election from foreign interference in both a cybersecurity perspective. We're very critical of the critical incident protocol and the impartiality of this critical protocol group as well, which in fact was served to be credible when the previous head of the protocol group, the former clerk of the Privy Council, in fact took early retirement based upon his testimony with the SNC-Lavalin case, but not only in regards to cybersecurity, but in regards to foreign funding, foreign third-party spending, which is something mm-hmm. which was just all over the place in 2015.
Yes.
They did not put the mechanisms in place to ensure that this will not happen in 2019. Outside of the writ and pre-writ, it is still open season for foreign organizations, be it corporations, be it funds that want to slush money into organizations that have interests in Canada, interest against Canada's own national interests. In fact, and you know, we provided over 200 amendments in an effort to solidify Bill C-76, to really make it a tool for the people of Canada, and they failed time and time. The Liberals failed time and time again by implementing just a handful of these amendments, and we saw that with cybersecurity. And as I said, Google is at ethics again. I say again because they appeared in, I believe it was November of 2018, but they are appearing at ethics again to say why they cannot comply with the legislation that was passed in Bill C-276. And yet they're able, the strange thing is, yet they're able to comply in the United States. The same format by Google is also expected to be implemented in the United Kingdom. So what due diligence did the Liberal government, did the Canadian government not do that Google can comply in the United States of America in regards to their electoral system, but not ours? I mean, and I've only touched upon it, Jamie, the errors of Bill 76 and how hard it makes Bill C-76 makes it to have an election that is without interference and with the benefit, or I should say the benefit or the assurance that Canadians will truly have an election which is without partisanship and which is without the possibility of interference.
Well, thank you both for coming. I do appreciate the time. Very detailed topics, and hopefully we'll have you back again to talk more. So thank you very much, Stephanie Cousy, Member of Parliament for Calgary, Mindapore, also our Democratic Institutions critic, and Michael Barrett, the by-election winner just recently. And thank you again for your service, the Member of Parliament for Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, Rideau Lakes. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale. This is The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. And remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's The Blueprint.
Thank you for listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. To find more episodes, interviews, and in-depth discussions of politics in Canada, search for The Blueprint on iTunes or visit podcast.conservative.ca.